This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have a quartet. And that doesn't mean a quartet of singers. Although I have to see whether any of these people sing. I know Randall does. We have Martin Willis from Podcast UFO. And we introduce a guest for the very, very first time. His name is Tom Warner. And he is author of a book called Beyond the Stars, which tells about an episode when he was real, real young. I assume you were real, real young, Tom Warner, in 1969. We'll get into that in just a few moments. Martin, always glad to talk to you. And something caught my eye here from your podcast UFO site. UFO occupants in the 21st century. Talking about the various shapes and forms in which they take. And when I see this, I think of the sci-fi movies and how they influenced it. What's your take, Martin?
Wow, yeah, that's a very good observation, really. First of all, I want to say right off the bat, I did not write the blog. I have a blogger that does a nice job, really nice job. His name is Charles Lear. He lives in New Mexico. He actually goes to Dave Marler's files and gets into, I don't know if you are aware of the archives that Dave Marler has, probably the largest in the country of UFO research papers and documents. And they don't live too far apart. So he goes in when he can. He does research wherever he can. He was trying to get into, I'm trying to think who it is that had a lot of work on this, and he's just vanished, unfortunately. Was it Albert Rosales?
Rosales, yeah. We had him on the Paracast many years ago. And after that, he became reluctant to return, and we never heard from him again.
Yeah.
Maybe they picked him up and took him for a ride in the Stargate.
It could be. His website's down, his email doesn't work and all that. So you can't find anything online about him. He did what he could with the research to write this particular blog. And it is really interesting, the different forms that people have claimed that they have seen, you know, when it comes over the years. I think the ones that you hear, the mantis ones, those are kind of scary sounding to me. It seems like besides Calvin Parker and Charles Dixon, beside those two, you know, you have a lot of typical grays, and, you know, that's mostly what you hear about in the past.
I just wanted to jump in on that, Martin, real quick.
Sure, Tom.
Do you know, after my abduction of September 1st, 1969, I had done drawings in our garage. Shortly after that, my father covered them all up with the tongue and groove plywood. And just this past fall, I had to rebuild my garage. And when I opened it up, I was stunned that I had drawn these things. One of them looked a little bit like Yoda. In 1969, Star Wars didn't exist. And the other was a sort of a skinny female figure alien. And so I've heard all kinds. I've heard from grays to whatever, but I actually drew this right after it happened. As an artist, I've decided I'm going to do those paintings of what I saw, based my drawings from as a 10-year-old.
Okay, that's why I wanted to ask you how old you were, but you've answered the question there.
10 years old.
So you weren't really aware, of course, of Barney and Betty Hill at that particular point in time.
No, I had no idea about it. The first inclination I even heard about UFOs was that summer of 1969, and my father was warning us about UFOs, and I had no clue what he was talking about, really. No idea.
Yeah, now wait one second here. Your father was warning you?
Yeah, I got that.
Yes. It turned out later, before my father died, he admitted that he had seen a UFO. and it must have been up pretty close the way he described it.
Well, it sounds also like it wasn't very pleasant, was it?
No, he was very... My father was a, you know, we're all raconteurs in a family, always passed down to tell stories and everything. And my father would tell stories. But when he told the story about the UFO, I saw pure fright on my father's face. And I normally did not see that in my father's face. And when he said, if you see one of these UFO kids, you run. I'm like, what the hell's a UFO? I had no idea. But I'd soon find out 3 weeks later.
Now, before we get into details, and we're going to want to hear about this story, Tom,
yeah.
What did your dad think of what happened to you when you told him? You did tell him, right?
I never talked to him about it. My mother must have, but, you know, we just didn't talk about it. It just wasn't talked about, you know? My mother had gone over to the next door neighbors. I'll get into it, but she had said to the neighbor, we're not going to talk about this anymore. And so we didn't. It just was really kept hush hush. I mean, no one really talked about it. Here, everybody knew about it, but, you know, you just didn't talk about it. Eventually, I talked to my brothers a little bit about it, but that was about it.
Now, before we go on with the experience, and I'm going to really be interested, I wanted to get back to the various and sundry creatures. And I think here of the influences of the movies. So, of course, we had the bug-eyed monsters.
Hmm.
And I did a column for the Paracast newsletter just this past week about this. So, of course, Michael Rennie had short hair as Klaatu, but a silvery uniform. So if you take tall, thin Michael Rennie in the silvery uniform and get him long hair, as opposed to normal, closely cropped, distinguished English gentleman hair, and you get the creature that George Adamski and Howard Menger might have seen. When you get to the gray aliens, I assume all or most of you saw the movie Earth versus the Flying Saucers, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. That was Ray Harryhausen's special effects. But the creatures looked like they were wearing robotic uniforms. And when they took off the helmet, they saw what the star of the film is called an ancient being, but it was a shriveled gray alien. I say gray, the movie was black and white, so it's just an assumption on my part. But that was a gray alien. So when you do hear reports of this nature, is it possible that particularly those movies and reports of insectoid creatures in movies from outer space, they all combine to create a culture of this sort of creature?
I think that's a very good point. You know, when you talk about, you know, movies, whether it be Star Wars or any of these movies, they're all based on somebody telling a story and describing what they're personally seeing. So when you get a Yoda or in Star Wars, you see all these different, you know, creatures, people talk. They tell you what they see, and then then you get good Hollywood people, and they can put together something pretty good.
I'll tell you what here, before we go on, Martin, what is your impression about this? Do you think that when you read an article like this particular blog, study all the UFO cases you studied, that this is what people are seeing, or are they coloring the appearance in terms of our culture? What's your perception? And you have about 40 minutes till we switch to our next segment, but you can certainly start.
40 minutes?
40 seconds, excuse 40 me. Seconds. 40 seconds until our next segment.
I was just getting very comfortable, Martin.
I think, you know, I definitely think the one influences the other, you know, whether it's what people are seeing influences pop culture or the other way around. I think this is very possible because a lot of times when you see something, as you know, I can't remember exactly what it's called, but we have like a natural tendency to try to put it in a box, and whatever it is we're seeing, we try to formulate it in our mind to make sense. So I think there's definitely a crossover in what pop culture has played in what people see, and maybe the other way around.
We've got more in common with Martin and Tom and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day, and our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1-liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Martin Willis, the podcast UFO, Tom Warner, who is an abductee. He's one of them people. He's an abductee.
Yeah,
and he's going to tell us about his experience in a few moments that happened when he was all of 10 years old. Okay? In fact, let's jump right into that after we finish the discussion about the culture and how people interpret UFO entities, Martin Willis, and that is, are we seeing the real entity, or are the entities or beings or whatever the phenomenon is generating an experience that we interpret according to our culture? It's not due to any external influence.
I haven't interviewed as many people as you by far, but for all the people that I have talked to about this, you know, I hear varying opinions, and I'm open-minded to listen to them all. Someone I had a few weeks ago was under the impression that, and you know him, basically that we don't have much of a, you know, like we'll have the experience, and what we gather out of that experience may be totally wrong than what it really is. And this is kind of I'm just paraphrasing here on the Paracast, but it's something that Greg Bishop, he was on just a couple of weeks ago, his idea of it, that, you know, we may have the experience, but it may not be what we think it is. And, that's just one of the opinions I've heard. And I think that also goes to beings when people see a being. I mean, you know, when I had my sighting, it was like it took me a minute to say, hey, wait, this isn't normal. Something's different. And I was trying to rationalize what I was seeing. And I think that could very well be the same when it comes to beings. So if we're seeing something out there in pop culture and we expect something to look a certain way, maybe that's our mind playing a game on us to try to get us to put it in its box.
Someone who's 10 years old, like Tom was when this happened to him, you think he didn't have enough experience to put anything in a box at that point?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, when you see something for the very first time, can you hear me okay there?
You're coming in fine, yeah. Loud and clear.
Okay, yeah, okay. So anyway, when you see something for the first time, the human brain, as it encodes at different, depending on the severity of the situation. So, and it's encoded. So it doesn't matter if it's the first time, second time, or third time. When you see something so unusual, it's ingrained in your mind. So my drawing that I did, I had seen two aliens and a human alien hybrid in that experience. So there was humans involved, and then there was these alien looking creatures involved. So I have no doubt it's what I saw, because I literally did a drawing of it. I did a number of drawings of it. So I have no doubt.
Right. Yeah. Like you mentioned this in the previous segment, that you'd uncovered some drawings, mm-hmm, on your garage wall that you, mm-hmm, did back when you were 10 years old after,
right,
your abduction experience, and
right,
that you planned on making some new illustrations based on them. And so for our audience, I'd just like to mention here,
yes,
that you are a watercolor artist with your own website at tomwarnerwatercolors.com. And that, having taken some fine arts courses myself, I have to say they're very professional looking. So I'm looking forward to seeing these renditions when they come out. Definitely. You have to send us a link and
right,
get on our forum and definitely let people know about these once you get them done.
Right. I was actually named to American Gallery, the greatest American painter. So, you know, that was quite an honor for me. So I, you know, the painting I did of my abduction was on Unsolved Mysteries. I'm sure you saw that, where they actually filmed that. It was showing what the spaceship actually looked like, and it was pretty close.
Okay, let's go into it, Tom. Let's go back to the beginning.
Let's dive in. It was a dark.
Let's just dive
night
in with, all, with, since we're alien creatures, all 7 feet.
Well,
we're half the pause.
It's really funny you should say that, okay? Because in my book, I met this guy, and we had to call him a name, so we had to call him Z. And Z worked for special forces in our government, and he had a particular location he was protecting with shoot-to-kill orders. And when the door was open, these young guys decided to go in. And he drew what he saw and what they said, or it was two scientists, and what they said to each other and it was an expression. And the expression was, in Gug we trust, G-U-G. And it was interesting because that was the same note that was given to me by a human-alien hybrid. And his drawing was of a 7-foot gray alien. So some people have seen different things. So I believe that there's many different creatures or whatever of intelligence out there, just not one. So if someone, maybe something looks like an ant, I don't know. I mean, I only drew what I saw. That was it.
Well, in the movie Contact, as you recall, in the movie Contact, based on the Carl Sagan novel, the protagonist, a radio astronomer played by Jodie Foster,
right,
goes on what may or may not be a trip to another world, although physically she doesn't seem to move anywhere. Maybe that is a Stargate, folks. But she sees this creature who says to her that he comes in a familiar appearance, her late dad, because we couldn't accept its true appearance. And I'm thinking, well, the bug-eyed monsters from the movies, maybe we couldn't accept that. So then again, it comes back to the same thing. And we can get into more of this after we talk about the details of your experience, which is, it, in this case, deliberately made itself look in a way that you'd accept, because if you saw the real thing, you wouldn't have to think of anything else. You'd be scared out of your wits. So tell us about the story. We have a couple of minutes before the break. But begin, Tom, to tell us about your story at 10 years old. You had some people with you, right?
Yeah. Well, I was actually at a neighbor's house, and I was coloring, you know. I remember specifically that the song was playing was Wipeout, you know, that song. And all of a sudden, I had mental telepathy to go to the window. I did, and I looked out. And mental telepathy was telling me I had to go home. And I said to the girl, Debbie, I have to go home. And she goes, why? I said, I don't know. Maybe God's talking to me from those clouds. I don't know. I have to go home. And I rushed out of the back of the house. And then as I passed the grandmother, I said, I have to go home. And they, looking at me, gave such a fright on their face, it scared me even more. And so, can you guys hear me okay?
You're fine. Just keep going. If there's ever a problem, I will let you know. Okay.
So anyway, I run out of the house, and I got to a point where there was a rock, and I just got a feeling something was on my left. And when I did, a UFO just dropped right out of the sky and just poof, stopped right there.
Tom Warner is author of Beyond the Stars. He's here with Martin Willis of Podcast UFO. It's Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
About 1.3 million Americans a day are receiving a coronavirus vaccination, with hopes that that rate will increase if Johnson & Johnson's one-dose vaccination receives an emergency use authorization from the FDA. The drug maker asked the agency for consideration for an EUA earlier this week. Dr. Joe DeGuest, vice chair of the Department of Epidemiology at Emory University, tells CBS News that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine would be a welcome addition to the fight against the virus.
Well, just having more vaccine is going to be a huge difference as we need to roll out more vaccine to more people. We have a lot of people waiting for vaccine, and we need more all the time. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is a really great vaccine. The data is exciting. 85% effective at preventing severe COVID-19, 100% effective at preventing death. We need this vaccine as quickly as possible.
This is USA Radio News. An impeachment trial for former President Donald Trump will begin on Tuesday, with the president accused of inciting the riots at the Capitol on January 6th. The focus for the president's legal team should be the constitutionality of the proceedings, according to the former Trump White House communications director. Alyssa Farah tells CNN that there is an open question about impeaching a president who's already out of office.
The president's legal team should really not be trying to relitigate January 6th. The facts are not on his side. That is not a helpful case to make. If I were still advising President Trump, which I am not, I would tell him to focus on the constitutional issues. There is a very open, real question about the constitutionality of impeaching a former president. As your reporter noted in the segment before, you know, that had 45 members vote against the procedural movement to go ahead with this impeachment on those grounds. When we get into relitigating the facts of the day of, that's shaky territory for Republicans to be in. So, again, the president should focus on the precedent that this sets and the constitutional side of things.
This is USA Radio News.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, Tom, let's continue about your experience back in 1969 when you were September 10 years old.
September 1st, 1969. So the
and that was 8 days before my birthday, but I can't tell you what year.
1969.
That's me. I'm joking.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so a beam came on me, and I'm looking up, and all of a sudden my hands jerked back, and it was like the air was sucked out of me, and then I'm seeing images on a UFO. And I recall seeing one girl to my right, which later I identified as Melanie, who was in the show. And then I saw some other kids, and then I saw, like, these two alien-like creatures, and I saw a human-alien hybrid, and I remember seeing a table and all these strange instruments and lights. They had these color lights. I'd just never seen the colors before. It's like I blinked my eye, and I was fully conscious when it put me back down at the other end of the property. And I was about a foot off the ground, but laying out flat. What made this so unusual was that my neighbor witnessed the entire episode, making me the only person ever witnessed in a UFO beam and disappear in that beam. And then the only witness to be put back down and witnessed.
Now, the person who witnessed this.
Yes.
What did that person say?
Well, you know, she kept it pretty quiet. You know, the thing which we can get into later was 2 weeks later, it happened a second time. But on the first time, she came forward and said, told her story from her, what her perspective was that she told on the air, was that I ran out of the house, and when I got to this area where there was a rock, and I was in a beam, And she says, you were running, but you weren't moving. And I just kept running, wasn't moving. And then she goes, all of a sudden, we looked at you, and you just vanished right in the beam. You were gone. Pretty creepy.
I'll tell you. Go on, please.
So when I was put back down, I was laying there, and my brother yelled for me to run. He says, run, Tommy, run. And I said, I can't. It's holding me down. And I literally couldn't move any part of my body. And mental telepathy again told me, we'll be done in a minute. And the minute was up. They said, we're done. And the beam went off, and I rolled to my right, and I stood up, and I looked at the UFO in shock, and it slowly had to rise out of the yard to clear the trees and leave.
So did you have any physical changes to yourself as a result of this experience?
Well, I don't know. I think I was a little faster runner after that, you know. You know, it's really hard to say. Like, I had scar tissue in my ear that no one could explain. I had a lifetime bizarre things happen, you know. It wasn't the first time, it wasn't the last, you know. But then 2 weeks later, you know, my brother says to me, my other brother, he says, come on, Tommy, let's go out and have a catch. And I didn't want to go out. It was too close to the sun going down. And he talked me into having a catch with him in baseball. And the sun, you know, the timing when the sun goes down and there's just enough light to have a catch for a while. I threw the ball to him. He throws it to me. He throws it back and forth. I threw the ball and ball went about 15 feet and the ball stopped right in the middle of the air and stopped and went opposite and came right back at me the other way and went past me. And at that moment, I'm chasing after the ball, and my other two brothers and a neighbor were running up towards me screaming, did you see the UFO? Did you see the UFO? It was right over Tommy's head. And the only thing I could think of was, oh no, not again. And then they go, right there, it's right there. And they pointed up in the sky, and it was probably, you know, I don't know, maybe 300 yards up in the air, but I could see it, and it had the same color lights. And mental telepathy again, they told me, you're okay, you're okay.
And now, when you say mental telepathy, this right. was a voice in your mind or what?
That's how it's communicated. It's through, you know, mental telepathy. You know, they can speak to you, and they do.
Do they come across as someone or something speaking normal English or what?
Well, you know, language is a funny thing. You know, you could say parlez-vous français, you know, you're speaking French. You say, I speak French, right? Or it could be, I speak French. We translate language into our minds. And so the voice communicates however, whatever that language is, I'm sure. You know, it's a thought process. You know what they're saying.
Did it have a character to it, like feminine or masculine?
That was...
You know, usually you can tell the difference.
It felt masculine. But
did it come across as mechanical at all?
No.
So you got the impression that this was from a living being that came across as sort of gender masculine, and that's how it communicated with you.
Yes, I would say so.
Interesting.
I mean, but the thing is, I have had other times where it's been a female voice, so.
Wow. I'd like to ask a question.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I don't know if you've ever looked really deeply into the Travis Walton case or abduction or whatever you want to call it, but when they're describing, and I talked with the guy that was driving the truck, Mike Rogers, and when they both described the UFO there, it sounds exactly like the UFO that you're describing, the multicolor lights on the bottom, like band swirling, mm-hmm. things like that. It sounds like you two are talking about something very, very close, and I wondered if you ever thought of, I mean, I could arrange it, but if you would ever like to
I'd love to talk to those guys. I've talked to Travis before because when he was in Great Barrington and we spoke, and Travis was really a nice guy. He listened to what I was saying, you know, but it was like, you know, the guy must hear like a ton of stories, you know? So, but
not too many like yours.
Well, I never intended to tell my story. You know, I wasn't going to tell it. There's no way. You know, I have enough well known enough for my art and my poetry to be fine. You know, I did this to come forward to help other people. I didn't do it to I'm willing to talk now. I mean, it's out, but I learned so much and I was told so much. I interviewed a fighter pilot who had a lock on a UFO. I had other people who were in government that talked to me about things. I've had conversations about the Men in Black. It goes on forever. So I finally decided, as it slowly came out and people were asking me to do interviews, I finally said, maybe I should write a book, you know? So I started, you know, gathering my thoughts on that. And the next thing I know, I got a call from Unsolved Mysteries. And at first sight, it wasn't going to do it unless they told the truth about that particular night. And I thought they did a really good job on it. I really do.
Now, I don't remember what your event was. When was this broadcast?
July 1st on Netflix. It was Unsolved Mysteries, the Berkshire UFO.
This past July 1st?
Yeah, it went to number one on Netflix.
Yeah.
It was went to number one. So it was like I started getting calls all over the world, you know.
When was the book written?
I started the book probably two or three years ago, and I just put it out this past fall. I self-published, you know, because I just wanted – I had to tell my story because there's so much more to this than is broadcast on any program.
Okay, so basically, at what point after you were 10 years old, after this occurred, did you first tell anybody outside of your family unit or your friends? In fact, before we find out the answer to that question, let's do a cliffhanger. Tom, Gene, Randall, and Martin, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Talking about Tom Werner's UFO abduction experience, at what point did the description, as I was saying, Tom, extend beyond your immediate acquaintances?
Of course, the neighborhood knew all about it, you know, and so, but when in school, I didn't talk about it. First time I talked about it, actually someone approached me. It was when I was 13 years old, and we were up at Lake Champlain, and I swam in from this dock. It was time to go home, and a kid was next to me, and he was about my age, and he looked at me, and he says, "You know about UFOs?" And I said, "No, I don't." He says, "Yes, you do." "No, I don't." I said, "Yes, you do." I said, "How would you know that?" And he looked at me, and he says, "Because I was on that UFO, and I remember you and your brother."
Say what?
Jeez. And I was 13 years old, and it's the first time I ever met the guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this story keeps getting better all the time, Gina.
So it's like our lives were completely ran parallel stories through our entire lives, us, you know, the two. He's in my book. We call him X, as in X-Files.
Right. Well, Martin, too, you were just interviewing Melanie on a recent episode, who, Tom, you also saw on this craft. So I find this particularly fascinating. There were something like four families involved in this whole incident, and that you guys remember actually seeing each other on the craft, I find completely fascinating.
Yeah. She didn't remember, but I remember. And if you listen to Martin's podcast, right, Martin, she was saying that she did say she was crouched down.
She remembered seeing kids, but she didn't remember seeing Tom in particular.
Right.
They popped away, you know, one at a time. The kids all of a sudden just vanished, which is really bizarre.
Yep. Did you know these people prior or during the experience?
No, not at all. I just remember faces. There was another face. I can't get it out of my mind.
So forget the four families. It seems like
there was others.
A lot of people involved, possibly.
There was others on there. And I thought it was interesting. Melanie's description was pretty much what I remember about one particular room. It was like they were being held, and it was kind of like a grayish metallic area. And I remember just the fright. Anytime I saw them, the fright was like, it was awful, awful to see. It really was. It was just the fright on those kids' face. It was just awful, you know. But anyway, the second time, I didn't have – the first time I wanted to clear that it was timed. I, literally, it was timed. They knew I was gone for approximately 7 minutes to 9 minutes on that UFO. But the second time, I lost 45 minutes of time. So
now, wait a minute. Okay, so the ball went, it looked like it stopped and turned around and came back at you, and you're chasing
right.
it. And, they
and
it
when
over
I
you.
Did, it went from the sun was going down to the stars were out. So that was like a 45-minute loss of time.
And was everyone still there? Your brother and...
My brother, yeah. He doesn't want to talk about it. The only thing he... You know, when we were younger, he goes, Tom, you got to do hypnosis. You got to do hypnosis. I said, nah, I remember enough. You know, I don't... how much more do I want to remember? So he was always trying to talk me into doing that. I said, no. But he admitted that he remembers looking down onto our tennis court from above. So that was his memory, you know. But the other guy, he ID'd me as a stranger on that UFO. And it was the first time we ever met.
Now, just to put this in perspective,
yeah.
We had a show with Kathleen Martin.
Right.
And a co-author of hers. And right. The co-author, and I have to think of her name. Denise Stoner. Thank you. Denise Stoner said that when she was abducted on one particular occasion, she met someone else aboard the spaceship or whatever it was. They exchanged notes, and then after this ended, they got in touch with each other. So you have two people who didn't know each other prior to the experience from different parts of the country sharing an experience and then talking to each other after. So... after that, you're probably the second big case where we have this shared experience of separate people to deal with.
Well, there was another interesting one, and I question whether it was her or not, but there was another kids that were out in San Francisco the same night, and they were in a UFO beam, and she was running to try to get out of the beam, and she couldn't move. And so after she saw Unsolved Mysteries, she came forward. I always get these people saying, you know, you're so familiar to me. It's like, were they there? I don't know. You know, I mean, they were younger then, you know, we all change, you know, as human beings. I mean, I'm not that, you know, the kid that everybody saw in LA Times and New York Times and USA Today. I was 10 then, you know,
we're talking here about over 50 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm 61 now. Yeah.
A mere lad.
So this whole thing about, you know, about X that was interesting was he finally was going to come forward and tell me everything about the UFO, you know, and because I wanted him to be in my book and I wanted to use his name and everything. And so X sends me a picture. He says, my wife is a photographer, and he sends me a picture. And I'm looking at my screen. I'm thinking, like, I think I got something on my screen. And then I blew up his wife's picture, and there was a UFO in the picture. And I said, I think you need to blow up that picture. And after he did, he didn't want to talk about it anymore. He says, I'm never going to talk about this. If I do, they're going to come after me, he says. And he's deathly afraid of it. He really was. So he says, we're not talking about it anymore. And he never did. That was the last conversation I had with him.
Do you think that has to do with why they're not going through with disclosure, that if they did, they'd have to reveal these frightening cases that would really cause fear amongst the population?
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because when I was 16, I was sent to a beach to talk. You know, a guy came, he says, you got to go down the beach. I said, why? He said, UFO. He says, you got to talk to my friend. And I said, okay, no problem. And I went down there, and the guy came down, and he was in military khakis, and he looked at me. He says, I hear you believe in UFOs. I said, yeah, I do. He says, why? And I told him my story. And he had, like, tears in his eyes, and he says, let me tell you mine. He says, I was a fighter pilot for the United States Air Force. He says, and we had a scramble, and I went up, and I had a lock on a UFO. And it used mental telepathy to tell me not to shoot. And before I could pull the trigger, it took off at such an incredible speed, and it was gone, he says. So when he got back to the base, he was held over, held over, held over. And then two gentlemen came in and put a document in front of him for him to sign. And he asked what it was. He says, this is your statement. And he says, can I read it? And he says, yeah, you can read it. And he says, this isn't true. He says, doesn't matter. You need to sign it. He says, if you don't sign it, you were never in the military. Because he figured he'd come back the next day and straighten it out with his commander, who were his authorities. And when he got back, they threw him off the base and he said, we don't know who you are. They took all his credentials and that was the end of his career. And he was seriously thinking, he says, you saved my life. He says, I was thinking about committing suicide until after I talked to you.
Oh, yeah, but then how do you verify his story is real? I mean, it's a great story. It might seem very emotionally compelling.
Because the person who sent them, he sent me to him, is his personal friend.
And was he in the military, or?
He was, not at that particular point. But you can just look at somebody. No one fakes that they're going to commit suicide.
Yeah, no one. It's like this.
You know, you can doubt anything anybody says, and some stories I doubt. I question. I didn't question him at all. I felt just terrible. You know, the point is this. You know, you were talking about why don't people believe, or why doesn't the government come forward? Because the stories are so outrageous, they're so compelling that they're not always believable. So people go like, yeah, right. It's the yeah, right. So you say, well, why didn't you talk to somebody? Exactly what you said, because it's the, how do you know that's that, you know, bullcrap or whatever.
Well, oh no, don't get me wrong here. I'm a believer in unidentified flying objects. I've seen them.
We've got more to come with Tom, Gene, Randall, and Martin. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the unprecedented boom in the U.S. markets. Here's just one example of what you can get with your free subscription to the CB Industry Report. The legal cannabis market is making huge moves since the election, and the market is projected to grow to $47 billion by 2025. The companies that we've identified are set to disrupt this multi-billion dollar industry. Get your free subscription to the CB Industry Report now when you text the word NOW to 48542. Get this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word NOW to 48542. Text NOW to 48542. And don't get left behind in 2021, where unprecedented trading ideas for you to research are waiting. Text the word NOW to 48542.